We're delighted to be back with you in beautiful, warm, tropical, sunny Indiana. This is the coldest I've been since I was here last time, I think. And not really, but anyway, we're delighted to be back here with you again. And we're just excited about the wonderful things we hear that God is doing here in the church and seeing new people coming in and paint and parking lots and all these wonderful things. That's awesome. That's awesome. We're blessed to be here with you, and we're believing God to come and meet with us this weekend. Amen. Not just to have a meeting for the sake of having a meeting. The last thing we want to ever do is to have a meeting for the sake of having a meeting. But we do want to have a divine appointment, a meeting with God. Amen. So that's why we're here. So stand to your feet. We've prayed. We're going to pray one more time. Father, tonight we love you, we worship you, we honor you, we bless you. Lord, we really do mean it when we say, we really truly mean it when we say that, Father, we're not here tonight just to find something to do on a Friday night. But God, we really come hungry tonight for you, hungry tonight for your presence, hungry tonight for your anointing, for your touch. Hungry tonight, O God, to plug in to that which you have for us to do in such a time as this in the earth. We love you. We worship you. We honor you. Holy Spirit, tonight we say we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. Nothing intended to compete at any level with you. But we welcome you and we honor you. We reverence you. We're hungry for you. For without you, we have no reason to stay 5 more seconds. We give you liberty tonight, freedom tonight, to do what is in your heart to be done. For the time is passing quickly and the day is far spent. Much needs to be done. The harvest is in the fields. And tonight we thank you. We honor you. We reverence you. These songs of worship that we sing, we literally mean the words that we sang with our mouths. We yield to you. We surrender to you. We say, here we are. Take us. Touch us. Fill us. Use us. For your glory. We worship you. Spirit of the living God, just come. Touch every person here. Let no one leave tonight. No one leave tonight. Quite the way we came in. We vow, we promise to give you all glory, all honor, and all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want us to go to the Word together this evening. And I felt it was kind of different for me in the sense that the last time we were together, I guess that would have been last October, November time frame. I really felt in my heart to minister along some lines that I'd never ministered on before. And that was on the reality of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God used that. We heard testimonies that came back from that about how God had spoken to people's hearts and how that they'd come into a new understanding of who the Father and the Son and who the Holy Spirit is. As a result of that time, and we give God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. But I felt in our time together this weekend that I wanted to pick that up again and take it one step further about along the lines of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the last days church. And how that in these days, in this hour that we're living in, we are about to see the greatest, most awesome display of the power and the glory of God that any generation has ever seen. Now, is this being taped? Is this on CD? All right, I wanted to ask. So no one gets upset and goes running out the door screaming, heretic, heretic, heretic. No, I would scream, it's on the CD, it's on the CD, it's on the CD. Before you scream, heretic, heretic, heretic. It's on the CD, it's on the CD. What I actually said. But what I would like to say is this. The book of Acts is still being written. The book of Acts is still under construction. In your Bible and in my Bible, we have 28 chapters of the book of Acts. Now, when I say the book of Acts is still under construction, I'm not saying there's new revelation or there's new doctrine or new theology, but there are new Acts. There was an Acts 29, an Acts 30, an Acts 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 40, 50, 500, 600, 800 chapters, 1,000 chapters in the last 2,000 years of history. Because what closed out in Acts 28 was not the end of God doing something in the earth. The acts of God have only continued. The acts of God have been increasing. And the interventions of God in the earth are coming with greater and greater intensity and with greater and greater power with every successive wave that has been coming in for about the last 200 years. That revivals are coming faster and faster with greater and greater intensity. But the reality is the great prophecy of Joel chapter 2, where the Bible says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That prophecy was not fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. It began in Acts chapter 2. The process of being fulfilled was commenced in Acts chapter 2. But the totality of the fulfillment of that prophecy of Joel has not yet been seen yet. But it's coming. It's coming. And we are growing into it and moving into it and stepping into it in our generation. And I believe with all of my heart, with every fiber of my being, that we are living in prophetic days. That we really are living in the days immediately preceding the second coming of Jesus. That we may very well be the generation that sees it. He may not come for another 5. He may not come for another 10. It may be another 15 or 20 or 25 years before it comes. But I don't think so. I think it's closer than that, simply because of the things that we see in the earth that are happening, that are fulfilling prophecies thousands of years old, are being fulfilled at such lightning speed in our generation that we really are living in prophetic times. And one of the characteristics of the last days are going to be ever increasing, ever escalating revelations of God in His activities in the earth in our in that generation. And if we are living in that generation, God has a lot of things stored up for us to enter into. Somebody say amen. Well, tonight I want us to think a little bit together about God the Father in the last days. Now, for those of you that maybe were not here a year ago, we found out that understanding God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is really quite easy. If you can understand a bottle of water, you can understand the Trinity. Some people get all confused, worried, and upset about how can there three be one. And in actuality, it's really quite simple. This is a bottle of water. Put it out in the parking lot in January, hallelujah, not November. at least not before Monday morning. And that bottle of water will become as hard as a rock, and we call it ice. You can bring it back in the building, let it warm up to room temperature, and that bottle of water will become a liquid. You can take it in the kitchen and pour it in a pot or in a kettle and heat it up to 212 degrees Fahrenheit, and it will become a vapor. Take the vapor and steam and cool it. It will become a liquid. Take the liquid and freeze it. It will become a solid. Warm it up. It becomes a liquid. Heat it up. It becomes a vapor. It can be three different things and never be anything but water. But water in three different forms. So when we talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're using exactly the same analogy as water. Three different forms, and yet all the same. The same composition in the same plastic bottle. You get all three depending upon the perspective that we look. God the Father is the great architect, the great designer, the great creator, the great composer of the music. Jesus would be the builder. Jesus would be the if we liken him to music, Jesus, if the Father writes the music, Jesus is the conductor that conducts the music. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Jesus, all that Jesus is, He is. All the Father is, He is. He is the one that comes and does the work in the earth. If the Father writes the music, Jesus conducts the music, the Holy Spirit plays it and brings the sound of the music into the earth. And so tonight I want us to think about the Father, the visionary, the creator. And I want you to listen to me very carefully, not just with your ears, and with your head and with your heart, look at me right now and listen to me very intently. I want you to know the one that created the entirety of all that is tonight loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves me, but He loves you. He really does. The greatest message in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved. For God so loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have. I cannot get my head around that. That a God that literally dreamed the whole thing up of what we are only beginning to discover in science, what we are beginning to discover in science, in biology, in physics, the atom, the neutrons, the protons, the electrons, compared to the vastness of the universe, all different, operating in perfect sin. He thought that up and then created it and sustains it. And He loves you. The one that did all that loves you. The one that was powerful enough to dream it up, think it up, design it, make a plan for it, loves you. Now that ought to make us feel two ways simultaneously. One is very, very small, but when we understand His love, it ought to make us feel very, very important. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the world. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If we can only get this one verse of Scripture down in embedded in our hearts tonight, would never be the same again. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 tells us. Well, let me just back up. Let's start with verse 28, Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God be for us, who or what can stand against us? Is anyone facing an issue here tonight? You're either facing an issue or you are an issue. Everyone here tonight either faces one or is one. So issue has a commonality among all of us here tonight. But if God is for us, brothers and sisters, who can be against us? For he that created the entirety of all that is, that scientists tonight do their very, very best just to scratch the surface of discovering all that started out with nothing that God thought up. He's for you. He's on your side. I think sometimes when we get to heaven, I think there's no condemnation in it. But I really believe when we get to heaven, we're just going to go around going, think about how I live down there. Just think about the worry. Just think about the pressure. Just think about my trouble and my issue and my difficulty and all my great struggle. Having no idea that the one that created it all loved us so much, held us in the palm of His hand. Oh, dear God. He gave His only Son for us. He gave Him up. He required blood to buy you back. It was required that blood be shed for you and blood to be shed. We're not going to get off into that tonight. But I want you to know there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There really, really is. We don't have time to get into that tonight. But let me tell you what the blood of Jesus does and why we have to understand the power of the blood of Jesus. It's when the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives, it is the same thing as putting a sold sign out in the front of a piece of property that has just changed owners from one to another. And when God puts the blood of Jesus on your life and on my life, glory to God, that blood becomes a line around our lives in all that we are. And it's like a soul sign there that you have no right to cross that line because you cannot trespass. You have nothing here now. You have no lien against this. You have no mortgage on this. You have no claim to this. This is bought and sold. I bought it. I paid for it. The blood is the guarantee of the reality of the bill of sale. That's why Satan has no authority when we live under the blood of Jesus, the Father's Son, that He shed on the cross. He gave Him freely for us. Jesus came, lived, died, rose again, ascended into heaven. And He said, I'll pray the Father that He'll send you another one just like me. Just like me. Just like me. And He'll come and live inside of you. He'll come and live with you. He will live inside of you. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will enable you. He will empower you. He will use you. And He will keep you. He will keep you until that day comes in heaven where we go there. Is anybody here getting excited? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My dear brothers and sisters, I want you tonight to know that God is a giving God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a generous God. He's a God of great blessing, a God of great victory, a God of great peace, a God of great joy. And I want you to know that before Jesus went away, He made provision that you, nor me, nor anyone that would ever be washed in that blood and be bought by the blood of the Lamb should ever go down in defeat on a single count. God's got it worked out. He's already got it worked out. And so, God loves you. The Father loves you. He loves me. He loves us. He loves the world. Tonight, God is a God of great blessing. I want us to go to the book of Genesis tonight. And I want us to look at a couple of things, not just that God loves us, but I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 12. And I want us to think together tonight using Genesis in the story of Abraham, the relationship that God had with Abraham, as it relates to you and relates to me tonight. Let's start with Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We know absolutely nothing about Abram before this particular scripture. We know nothing about him, or very, very little about him, except that God saw something in him that He liked. God saw something in a man by the name of Enoch, who was six generations down from Adam and Eve. Great, 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 great grandson of Adam and Eve. And Enoch had heard people pronounce it both ways, had heard through oral tradition about the stories of what it was like when his great, 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 great grandfather Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the Garden of Eden. He'd heard those stories come down from generation to generation. And Enoch had heard those stories And something inside the heart of this man longed to know God like. And God saw that longing in his heart. And God was so pleased with that. The Bible says that God would come and walk with Enoch. Just like he had walked with Adam. That God would come in the earth. There was no Bible. There was no prophecy. There was no cross. There was no Savior. There was nothing. Didn't even have Christian television. But because of something down inside of Enoch's heart, God would come and walk with him. Would walk with him. And so great was the joy that God took from fellowship with Enoch. That one day, the Bible says that God just took him. That he didn't die. That God was just in the earth, walking with Enoch, and was having such a wonderful time with fellowship with this man, that God just looked at his watch and said, Enoch, time has passed so quickly. I've got a meeting at the throne room. We're not done. You just come on and go with me. And took him alive right out of the earth into heaven. He never even died. You remember the story of Noah. And how that sin was so great in the earth that God actually thought to himself, I wish I hadn't have done it. But there was a man by the name of Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. And God said, I can't destroy him. I'll destroy the rest of it, but I can't destroy him. And because of Noah, the opportunity that maybe there's hope, we'll just let him build a 600-foot long ship with hand tools, no Home Depot, no Lowe's, no power tools. And when he gets it done, I'll just bring two of all the animals into the ship. And then when I flood the world, the earth, the ship will float. We'll start all over with this guy. We don't know what went on, what God saw in Enoch. We don't know what God saw in Noah. We don't know what God saw in Abram. But whatever it was God saw in Abram, God liked it. And Abram ultimately became the man that the Bible describes as being a friend of God. And so it was in chapter 12 that God just comes to him. He just came and he said, get out of your country and from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I'm going to show you, because I'm going to make of you, Abram, a great nation. And then God said, I'm going to bless you. What had Abram done to deserve blessing? Nothing. He didn't earn it. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so the story began with God saying to Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. He's 75 years old and has no children. And God's talking. God begins to talk in terms of, son, you're going to have so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren that if you numbered all the stars of the sky, it wouldn't be as many as yours. And if you had all the sands of the sea, it wouldn't be as many. And all of these, your descendants, are going to bless the rest of the inhabitants of the world. This 75-year-old Abraham is going, okay, if you say so, okay, all right. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, Abram was now very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. God had told him to get out of the land that you've dwelt in with all of your family and leave and go to a land that I will show you. And one chapter later, Abram's rich. Now, there's got to be a story there somewhere that we don't know quite all together how all of this happened. We know some of it, but there came such a blessing on him that blessing just began to come to him. And these things, the favor of God and all of these things begin to come. And God is still talking about descendants and children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and lands and nations and the earth being blessed. And Abram is going, okay, all right, if you say so. I like being very, very rich, you know. And so we get over to chapter 14, and he runs into the king of Salem, Melchizedek, who some Bible scholars believe was actually an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. Now, let's don't get caught up in that. Some do, some don't. It doesn't really matter. We'll ask him one day, not too long. But Abram starts tithing and gives a tithe to him. I think that was significant. That was remarkable. And Melchizedek is talking about blessing and the future that he has. And once again, Abram is going, okay, all right, that's fine, that's good. And so we get to chapter 15, and the Lord is now coming and revealing himself to Abraham, and he's talking to him, revealing himself in greater and greater measure. And now God enters into a covenant with him, the highest form of agreement that two people could enter into with each other, with a covenant relationship. And in this chapter, we find that God himself, that created everything, comes down to this guy, Abram, and says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And this old guy goes, you are? And he said, yes, I will make a covenant with you. Really? Yeah, I'm going to do that. Well, what do I have to do? Nothing. I'll just do it. So what did I do so right? Nothing. Well, why do you want to do this with me? Because I can. Because I want to. Because I like you. I love everybody. Did you know that God loves everybody? How many are glad God loves everybody? I'm glad God loves everybody too, but did you know there are people God likes as well as love? Did you know that? You say God plays favorites? Well, he's no respecter of people. But God loves everybody tonight. But there are people that God not only loves them, but he likes them. And do you know that opportunity is there available to you and me and everybody else that wants to? They're the ones that do the things that God likes. That makes God likes the people that do the things he likes and hate the things that he hates. But something about this man, Abram, God loved him, but God liked him, and God wanted to make a friend of him. And God came and entered into this covenant with him. And God just keeps talking about these descendants. He said in verse 13, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they will serve, I will judge. And afterward, all of your descendants are going to come out with great possessions. And Abraham goes, okay, what is he talking about? I'm 80 years old. I don't even have a kid, you know. And now he's talking about all my descendants are going to be in captivity for 400 years. And they're going to come out with all these great possessions. And I don't get it. God's still talking about lands and nations and descendants. So we get over to chapter 16. And Sarah, or Sarai, was Abram's wife, and they had no children. And so Sarah comes up with this idea that, you know, Abram, you know, we're not getting any younger, and, you know, we're going to have all these nations, and the world is going to be blessed, and we're going to have all these descendants and nations and lands and descendants and like sand and like stars, and we don't have a kid. And so, Abram, I have a maid here, and her name is Hagar, and so why don't you just go and spend a little time down at Hagar's house and tent, and we'll see what happens. And you know the rest of the story, that Hagar was pregnant with Abram's child, a son, and Sarah got all upset and ran her off, chased her away. And so Hagar leaves, and Jesus comes to Hagar in verse 7 and found her by a spring of water and said to the maid, begins to talk to her, and he said, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." The angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And then Jesus said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son. You will call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your afflictions. He will be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of the brethren." Well, this woman, Hagar, goes out. She's pregnant with Abram's son. And Jesus comes to her and said, "Go back to your house," and said, "because I'm going to bless your son. And his descendants are going to be all these people. And they're going to be everywhere. And they're going to be blessed. And they're going to be rich." Said he's going to be a wild man. He's going to be against everybody, and everybody's against him. And the literal translation says he'd be a wild donkey. He'll live like a wild donkey does. And that's the reason they're shooting up Paris tonight, is because Abram went down to Hagar's house. And that's where Ishmael came from. And that's the reason we had to go through all the hassle getting on the plane today to come be with you tonight, was because of Ishmael. But guess who sits on all the oil? Ishmael. Guess who drives the Rolls Royces? Ishmael. Guess who owns that region of the world? Ishmael does. Why? Because he was a son of... Beloved, when God says something, it didn't matter that Hagar was not supposed to bring Ishmael into the world. Sarah was supposed to bring Isaac into the world. But Sarah got in the middle of this, and Hagar got in the middle of this, and so Ishmael got in the middle of this. And because of Ishmael, the blessing of God had to go on, simply because God had said it. When God says something, he said, "I'll bless your descendants." And Ishmael was a descendant. Guess what? He was never supposed to be. The world would be a lot happier place tonight had he not been. But he still got blessed. And he's still multiplying at an alarming rate. Chapter 16. Let's jump over to chapter 21. You remember the story of all that God did. 25 years comes by. The Lord comes back, promises the son, and just as he said, Isaac came. Genesis 21, let's begin with verse 13. And he said, "Yet I will make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed." And Sarah gives birth to Isaac. And the blessing of God is on Isaac. The blessing of God is on Ishmael, and it continues on across all the chapters of the book of Genesis. I want you to turn with me now quickly over to Galatians chapter 3, because we've got to move quickly. Galatians chapter 3, we see the unfolding of the blessing that continued on, all because of that promise that God made to Abram. And then we get to Galatians chapter 3, where he's still talking about Abram and how that you and I have been grafted in to those promises. And verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it was written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Beloved, the blessing that God put on Abraham that has continued, Ishmael got a portion of it as a descendant of Abraham. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, church, that blessing is on you tonight. That blessing is on me tonight. And that's the reason the Bible says, if God be for us, who can stand against us? For he that would give his son, shall he not freely give us all things? All things. All things. Now there's a reason tonight that I'm ministering along these lines. We're living in a world tonight that from all outward appearances, the thing looks like it's gone off the rails. We're living in a world tonight that's going nuts. We're living in a world tonight where people are very afraid. They're afraid of everything. I mean, you watch the presidential debates, it's a frightening thing. You watch the Democratic debates and the Republicans debate, it's pretty scary out there. And people know it. You look at the debt of the nation, $18 trillion and counting. Hundreds of millions of dollars a minute are going deeper. That's a frightening thing. You look at all the things, terrorism, all that's happening in France, even as we meet here tonight. People are afraid. People are worried. I want you to know tonight that God loves you. God loves me. Tonight, the blood of Jesus has been given unto us. It is the not for sale sign anymore because the property is now sold. It was already bought with the blood of His only Son. That if God is for us, who can stand against us? Tonight, the world is desperately searching to see the revelation of the blessing of God that God wants to send upon the church in these last days, in this great prophetic hour, in this finishing out of the book of Acts, in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the earth that will literally shake nations. The world out there is longing tonight to see a church arise that lives and dwells and moves in the fullness of all that God has promised to give and to do, living in great glory, in great anointing, in great power, and great victory. Hallelujah. This is not the hour for Christians to sit around looking like sick kittens sitting on a hot brick. This is the hour for the church to emerge. God's getting ready to pour out His Spirit. God's getting ready to pour out His glory. God's getting ready to restore. Jesus is coming, but He's not coming back for less than He left behind when He left here 2,000 years ago. He's not going to come back looking to pluck a frightened little band of huddled people hiding in a hole in the ground with a windmill on the top and some bottled water and an AK-47, you know, and some shelves stocked with Sam's Club food, hoping the food will last until Jesus can come. No, He's coming back from a church that is going to be used in the last days to shake nations. America shall be saved. Now, let me just tell you, I don't want to burst your bubble tonight. We're not going back to the days of Ozzie and Harriet. We're not going back to the days of Leave It to Beaver. We're not going back to the days of Marcus Welby, M.D. That will not work with Obamacare. Those days are over. It's done. It's over. It's finished. Forget it. That's not going to happen. The toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't put it back. But we are coming into the days that God is going to pour out His Spirit. He's going to fulfill the prophecies that He's promised to fill. Of showing Himself. That's the reason Isaiah prophesied it when he talked about arise and shine, for your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is rising upon you. For deep darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But His glory shall be seen upon you, and even kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. I mean, I just take these things literally, excuse me. But I just believe there's coming a day before Jesus comes for the church that even heads of nations will come to the glory of God. We, in our church in Tampa, Florida, there was a man there just a few weeks ago, is getting ready to become the president of the Congo in Africa. Born again, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, revival man. I mean, kings and queens and prime ministers and leaders, heads of state, God is going to put hooks in the jaws of the nations in these last days. And literally, the governments will literally gravitate to hear the word of the apostles and the prophets and the message of the evangelist in this last day harvest. I believe it with every fiber of my being. If God is for us, if God is for us, let me hear you say it. If God is for us, who can be against us? No devil. No demon, no politician, no terrorist. Christians are just so afraid. And I'm here to bring good news tonight, hallelujah, that the one that made it all loves us. He's for us. And beloved, when God speaks His word and promises to bless, even the terrorists get the blessing of God only because he was a son of Abraham. Do you see that? Because God wouldn't take it back. God is not a man that He should lie, or the son of man that He should repent. For what He hath said, shall He not do it? What He has promised, shall He not make it good? He has everything under control. Everything. Absolutely everything under control. God promised blessing to Abraham. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. The descendants of Abraham, literally, wherever they've gone in the world, the Jewish people have prospered. The Jewish people have been blessed. How many have heard about that that gold train that they found over in, I think it's Poland. Have anybody heard about that? Some of you, you've read a little bit. Nobody's talking much about it. There was a legend for a long time at the end of World War II that there was a freight train loaded with gold that they'd ripped off from that Hitler had stolen. And he, at the end of the war, he was trying to protect it from the Allied bombers. And so they took this train load of gold and art and wealth, and they parked the train in a tunnel in Poland, and then they caused a landslide of some nature that sealed it up in the mountain. They tore up the train track, and then they killed all the Germans that built it and took it there. But there was always a rumor that somewhere in Europe there was a train. Well, there were a couple of guys that found it. One was from Austria, one was from Germany. They went to the German government, said, "We'll tell you where it is for 10%. At least they didn't say it, their lawyers said it. For 10% finder's fee, we'll tell you where it is." And now it's pretty widely known that this train has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tons of gold. You know where they got the gold? From the Jews. That's the reason nobody's in a big, really big hurry to go down there and pull it out of the hole. So they're going to have to get, somebody's going to want it back. Everywhere the Jews have gone, they prospered. They've been blessed. In Genesis chapter 15, let's read that scripture again that we read earlier. When God said to Abram, having no son, having no descendants at this point, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge afterward, and they will come out with great possessions. They will come out slaves, Abram, your children, grandchildren, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren are going to be slaves for 400 years, but then when they come out of slavery, they're going to come out with all these possessions. And Abram looked at God and went, okay. Turn over to Genesis 47. Well, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had Joseph and Joseph's brothers. And you remember the story of Joseph and his brothers and how they sold him into slavery in Egypt. And how that Joseph was mistreated, falsely accused, imprisoned, cheated. And yet by the time he was 30 years old, he was the prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth. Why was Joseph the prime minister of the most powerful nation on earth? Because God had told Abram, I will bless your descendants. And he blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. The blessing went from Isaac to Jacob. The blessing went from Jacob to Joseph. And so wherever Joseph went, blessing had to follow. You see that? And so he's 30 years old. He's the prime minister of Egypt. And God reveals to him that there's coming 7 years of plenty. And then there's coming 7 years of famine. And you're to store up grain and supplies during the 7 years of plenty so that there will be enough food and provision for Egypt in the 7 years of lack. And so Pharaoh said, we'll do it. And so Joseph did it. And 7 years later, when famine came in that whole part of the world, including Israel, and the food was gone, Jacob, as an old man, heard that there was food in Egypt. And so he told his sons, go to Egypt and see if you can buy some food. And so they went to Egypt. You remember the story. They didn't recognize the prime minister was the little brother that they'd sold into slavery. But Joseph knew who they were. And you remember the amazing story and how that God brought the whole family, Jacob and all the brothers and all the children and their wives and the whole family came to Egypt. And they said to, and Joseph went to Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for the flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen." Famine in Canaan, but God got his people, the descendants of Abram, out, prepared for them this place, went to Egypt, and they said, "We want your family to dwell in the best land we have. It's called Goshen." And so they went to Goshen. Now, beloved, I want you to underline that because Goshen is going to be very, very important for them. Genesis 47. I didn't tell you that. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Genesis 47, verse 4. "And they said to Pharaoh, 'We've come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants go dwell in the land of Goshen.' And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, 'Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen.'" Underline that. That's going to be important for them moving forward. Turn with me now over to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. Now, between the Genesis 47 and Exodus chapter 5, about 400 years has passed. 400 years have now passed. And it's not just Jacob and his sons and Joseph that are living in the land of Goshen. It's their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, all the way back to Abraham, are still in the land of Goshen. And they have been so blessed, they have multiplied with such speed and health that Pharaoh, this is another Pharaoh, Joseph's long since died, is afraid that they will take over Egypt. And so they've made them slaves and have punished them and made it harder and harder and harder for these people to live. And so it was that they're making bricks and the Pharaoh just is punishing them. And he tells them that you're not even going to be able to give your people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks that they made before as slaves. And you will not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" These are slaves. They're being punished. They're being tormented. But God is in the process of bringing about prophetic fulfillment because of a baby by the name of Moses that Pharaoh's daughter had hidden in a basket in the Nile River that grew up in the house of Pharaoh. When he was 40 years old, went out to the wilderness. And two chapters before, He's there and a bush is ablaze with the glory of God. And God says to an 80-year-old Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses is saying, I don't think I can do that. But what he doesn't realize is the blessing. The blessing. The blessing has come down and gone and gone and gone. And so here are these people being punished, oppressed by Pharaoh. That they're no longer allowed to use straw to make bricks of the place, of the walls of the city that are there. And they're tormented under this horrific oppression that is going on in that place. There was a group of archaeologists several years ago that had been looking for a Egyptian city. It was called Pithom. P-Y-T-H-O-M. And they knew it existed, but everywhere they looked, they couldn't find it. And they found this one place, and they said it's not there because it doesn't fit there. But it was a place of springs and grass and trees and lush greenery. And they went and began to do a little bit of excavation there. And they started finding Egyptian artifacts. And they discovered that this is actually Pithom. And they began to unearth it. And it was in a place called Goshen. It was in the best place. And as the archaeologist unearthed the walls and the buildings, what they found was remarkable. The bricks down at the bottom of the foundation were made of both clay and straw. But the higher the wall went, it suddenly became clay and straw. It went to bricks that were made with clay and grass. And then the bricks at the top were just made with clay. Just exactly as the Bible described. The reason they never dreamed that Pithom could be there is it was such a good place. It was such a good place. A lush place, a green place. You could actually grow things in this place. But archaeologists found it to be exactly as Exodus chapter 5 described it. Turn over to Exodus chapter 8. Now, God had sent Moses to Pharaoh to declare to him that great judgment was coming. Pharaoh didn't believe it. And so the judgment came. And Egypt began to come under tremendous plagues of varying sorts. The waters became blood, and lice and flies began to swarm over the land, and the Egyptian people were horrified and terrified. But in Exodus 8, verse 22, it said, in that day, God said, I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land, and I will make a difference between my people and your people. Do you realize that when great judgment came upon Egypt, it came everywhere but Goshen, because Goshen was the place that 400 years before God had moved on Pharaoh's heart to give to Joseph's family that had come from Canaan because they were the descendants of Abraham. And God had made a promise, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And so all these generations They've continued to be blessed. Right, even being blessed into the midst of slavery. They're living in the best land as slaves. The only place with the water. The only place with the grass. And that was the reason that Pharaoh became so worried about these people. Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9. All the livestock in Egypt has died. Now the great plague of hail, the storms had come. And hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt. In chapter 9, verse 25. Both man and beast, and hail struck every herb in the field and broke every tree. The hail. I mean, that stuff had to have been the size of softballs. That it destroyed even the agriculture. The people of Egypt were being killed by this. But look at verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was, there was no hail. There was no hail. There was no hail. No lice, no flies, no storms, no blood, no hail. These people are just standing out here looking around and watching Egypt literally fall apart. The most powerful nation on earth is literally being destroyed before their very eyes. And here they are, a bunch of slaves sitting around out here just watching it all unfold, never touching them. Never touching them. Never touching them. Well, the story goes on in chapter 10. Goes on. Let's go over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, God says to Moses to tell the people, he said, speak, Exodus 11:2, speak now in the hearing of the people. Let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servants. And in the sight of the people. And so God just says, tell the people to go ask all the people, that all the slave owners, just ask them for their stuff. And all these people said, okay. Now, had these people done anything super spiritual? No. Were these people quoting the word 24/7? They were blessed not because of what they had done. They were blessed because who they were. Do you realize tonight you are blessed because of who you are? You are blessed tonight because of who you are. If you've been born again, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, if you are a child of God, I don't care if this rubs your theological cat's hair the wrong way. You just need to turn the cat around. You are blessed tonight. And you may feel like a slave that's been abused and ridiculed and put down and robbed and stolen from. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's all getting ready to turn around. Can you see this 80-year-old going out here? And I have an announcement to make to everybody. Oh, God, we're trying to make bricks without straw and they're beating us. Oh, God, it's awful. I have an announcement, he said, to tell you to go ask your owners to give you all of their gold. Go tell those people that are beating you like dogs to make bricks without straw that you want their diamonds. Go tell those folks that are whipping you and killing you and trying to commit genocide against your babies that you want all their stuff. that we're not buying it. We don't want your flea market stuff. We want the good stuff. And it's like, oh man, you just not with it, are you? I mean, we're out here trying to make bricks for these people, and you're telling us that he said to go and tell them we want all the stuff. And then God said in verse 6, there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as not was like it before, nor ever be again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and the great, 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 great grandchildren of that guy that I entered into that covenant with, who I promised to bless, that I can't take it back. And you just go tell him you want all your stuff because you're going to need it quickly because you're leaving. And when you get ready to leave and walk out of this place, you're going to walk out of here. And I'm going to tell you right now, even those ugly, 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 ugly Egyptian dogs with that little curled tail, Pastor Michael, you know those Indian dogs? I mean, the lowest common denominator of dog are those dogs that we've seen in India. They all look the same, that little curled tail. I mean, it is mutt on steroids. Well, these dogs were the great, 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 great granddogs of those dogs in India, you know. And, I mean, these dogs, I mean, they'd bark at themselves. They're so stupid. I mean, they really. And God said, when I bring you out of this place, not one of those stupid, ugly dogs will even open its mouth to bark at you. That even the Egyptians would know that there's a difference here between you and between them. And so the Passover is instituted in chapter 12. And the Lord's judgment came upon the Egyptians. And in verse 35 of Exodus 12, I'm almost done. The children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. They'd asked the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given people favor in the sight of the Egyptian so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now you say, that's amazing. They plundered the Egyptians. You know when they actually plundered the Egyptians? They plundered the Egyptians all the way back in the book of Genesis when God told Abraham before Sarah had ever had a baby named Isaac, that all your descendants are going to be in Egypt. And they're going to be slaves for 400 years. And when they come out, they're going to come out with all of the stuff. Isaac has not even been born. And God is already planning to loot the Egyptians. God's looting the Egyptians 400 years before there was an Egypt. You say, Brother John, where are you going with him? God loves you. He loves you. He loves the world tonight. He loves the world. But the church is the bride. We are the sons and daughters of God. Galatians tells us that we are partakers of that promise that God gave to Abraham, that we are blessed. And you may feel like you're just a bricklayer tonight. That you're just out here trying to scratch up. You know, the archaeologist found the walls, and like the lower rows of the brick had the straw. And it was like suddenly there was no straw, but it was like the people had gone out and just looked for any kind of little grass clip. And when they'd gotten up all the little grass clippings, then there was nothing left but the clay. And you might feel like you're just a bricklayer looking for some grass clippings, just trying to keep up and stay alive tonight. But I want you to know that the blessing of God is on you, and God is for you. And when the church is going to begin to step up and step out and step over into the realms of God in these days before us and come into blessing. And it is going to be physical blessing. It is going to be financial blessing. It is going to be spiritual blessing. It is going to be every favor of God on the lives of His people that will obey Him and serve Him and follow Him, that even kings and queens and prime ministers and presidents and heads of state will come to the brightness of His rising in our midst. You say, Brother John, why are you teaching? Because I find so much fear. People are terrified. Even in the church. Listen. If you want to store up, if you've been storing up food, that's okay. You can eat it anytime. It's a good thing to have food stored up. My wife gets upset with me all the time. She'll send me over to the grocery store. Go get me one, two, three. Give me four or five things on a list. I'll come home and have two or three of each. And she'll say, well, why'd you buy two or three each? Well, you needed one, and the other one is for the next time you need it, so I don't have to go back and do this again, you know? So, you know, if you want to store up food, that's fine. Eat it. If you're stockpiling guns and ammunition, wonderful. Glorious. Have some target practice. Enjoy. Shoot it all up. You're not going to need it. You're not going to need it. What if judgment comes on America? Beloved, if we're living in Goshen, we're going to stand here knee-high in green grass watching it go down all around us and all of them looking at us saying, what do we have to do to get what you've got? Hello? He that gave up His own Son, shall He not freely give us all things? We are heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. That blessing that was on Abraham and on Isaac and Jacob and Joseph all the way down to this very day. You want to know who controls the wealth of the nation? Go down and find the Jews. Why? Because of the God said, I will bless your descendants. 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 And He doesn't take it back. Now I want to challenge you tonight. Some of us here tonight need to move in by faith into all of that God has promised. Some of us, we just need to be taking greater courage, encouragement, stepping out and believing God. These are the greatest days. This is the greatest hour. The day of great opportunity for those that are walking the line with what God has called us to do. Amen. These are not days of fear and uncertainty. He loves us. His blessing endures. We have no need of fear because He made a place for us, a place called Goshen. You know what else? And I'm closing right now. If you'd like to just go ahead and put on a CD, a worship tape, or whatever you'd like to do. Here, we're going to pray here in just a minute. You know, when the archaeologists finished their work at Pithom, they found all the stuff of the city. But the big mystery is they could not find any military equipment. that they knew that it had to have been there. But they found no armament. They found no evidence of chariot. They found no evidence. And they know in that time frame that the armies of the nations to the north had just suddenly, in a moment, just come and walked into Egypt and just took it all. And the Pithom area would have been the place that the military would have been. But they were never able to find any military equipment. You know why? They were looking in the wrong place. The military was at the bottom of the Red Sea. Because when God took them out of Goshen to take them to give them the promise, He parted the Red Sea and they went across on dry land. And the Pharaoh sent the military, all the garrisons of all the chariots and all the horsemen and all the military from the Pithom region went to chase them, to corral them, and bring them back. And the whole military was washed away when the sea closed on them. Just exactly as one of these days, we're going to find out it was all. If God be for us, who can be against us? Stand to your feet. Father, we love you. We worship you tonight. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your promise. Father, some of us tonight may feel like we're making bricks without straw. But Father, the reality is, those people were making bricks without straw one day and walking out of Egypt blessed beyond any ability to imagine it, in such great glory that the dogs were afraid to bark at them. The judgment never touched the head of your people. The plague never touched you. The struggle never came. They were just waiting around, waiting to the end to collect all the stuff that you'd promised 400 years ago to begin to move toward the land. Lord, I just thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your presence right now. Father, I just thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your anointing right now. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the fire of God that's falling right now. I thank you for the eyes that are being opened right now to see who we really are. That we're not the slaves. We're not the beleaguered survivors. But we are the blessed. We are the heirs of the promise. I thank you for that anointing. Fill. Just fill right now. Let the fire of God I just feel the anointing all over this place. Right now. Jesus. Jesus. Blessing. 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 I just feel like it's almost like Jesus calling Lazarus to come forth. They're just people. You just feel like a dead person just wrapped up, buried, and a rock rolled over on top of you tonight, except you're not dead. And you're coming out. You're coming out. You're coming out. Even people say you stink. They said Lazarus is dead. And he stinks. And I mean, it's gotten so bad, you think you stink. But no, come out. In Jesus' name, come, come. Right now, I loose the anointing of God right now. In Jesus' name. America's not over. America's not finished. There's a shaking coming. But the shaking is not for the destruction. The shaking is for the revival. The shaking that's coming, it's coming. But it's going to be the revival that's going to be birthed out of it. The fire of God in us. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 I want these ladies right back here. There's four of you. Right back here. You. Yes. And you. And I want those four right here. Come up here. Right now. I just see the anointing of God on you right now. Could I have some ushers to come and stand with people? Well, we prayed a minute ago. I just saw it was just like a download. Just what's happened? What do you feel right now? What's happening to you? When did that happen? This is not your church. You came from another county. You came hungry. Hallelujah. Well, what you're praying for is coming, but lift your hands. It'll come to you right now. You can have yours right now. Lord, just fill her right now. Loose it right now in the name of Jesus. I need some ushers. Could we get some more guys up here, please? Could we get some more ushers? I'm not fussing at you guys. They're feeling what I'm feeling. You came from another county for this. Really? Lift your hands. It's coming. It's coming. You're not begging God to do something He doesn't want to do. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I pray the fire of God on you right now. Jesus, right now. Fire. 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 Shaba cha shekaranaya. Shia hashama. Shandarara shia. Bande liki shama hoshea. Eri undo sheda mondoshe. Beshe beshe ba. These two ladies right here, second row, come up here. Come here. You two. Come up here right now. Ushers, stay with them. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. The fire of God. The fire of God. The fire of God. The fire of God. Fire. The fire of God. The fire of God. Just take that right now. Jesus' mighty name. Shataragashe. Shandaradashe. You say, what's happening to these people? This is what Joel was talking about. This is the book of Acts. This is the book of Acts. This is the book of Acts. This book of Acts. It just seems like the anointing is in the back moving forward. If you're in the back, come on up here. All the way in the back. Lady in the back. Come on up here right now. Yes, you. That's you. Come here. And the two in front of her. Come on. In fact, the whole row in front of her. Come on. It's all over you. It's all over you. Jesus. 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 Fire. Come on. Come on. Hurry. 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 Jesus. Just take it. Just take it. You say, what is this? It's the book of Acts. It's the book of Acts. Where are the ushers? Guys, I love you. We're talking. We're not. Take it. Ushers, help me, please. These people, don't let... Guys, come on. Jesus. 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 You say He's pushing them down. We can see that. Jesus. Jesus. Go and get drunk, lady. Just go on. There's people spending a lot of money out there tonight to get what you can have for free here right now. Just take it. Just take it. Jesus. 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 Lord, just take him up. Get him filled tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus. If you want prayer tonight, come on up here. You say, what do I have to do? Nothing. Ushers, stay with these people. When you see people coming up like this, just get behind them. Lift your hands right here. Jesus, I pray you touch him tonight because you love him. And Lord, because you promised you were going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. We loose that anointing. We loose your power. Jesus, fill right now. Fill her up right now. The crown of her head. Fill, 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 fill. We loose that anointing right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for Mick. I thank you for Mick. God, fill him tonight in Jesus' name. Fill, 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 fill. Lord, fill this family tonight. Fill this family. Father, fill this precious family. Father, I thank you for my brother. God, you use him in a great and a mighty way. Lord, in the days ahead, Jesus, 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 fill, 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 change, never the same. Lord, fill this young man tonight. Jesus, fill this woman tonight. Fill them, bless them, bless them, fill them, fill them, fill them. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you for that anointing. Thank you for that anointing. Thank you for that anointing. Lord, just get him just totally saturated, soaked. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
I am looking never the same.
Never the same.
The time when I
never
can
the same.
Feel the way
never the same.
Find
Jesus.
Place of rest, place of peace.
He looks like Superman on a cape, flying through the air. Jesus, fill him.
The time to steal
fill him.
Away and
fill him.
Be with you. To be
Pastor Michael
with
Judy,
you.
Come up here.
Lord, won't you take me away? Take me
if he's
away.
For you, who cares?
So I
ushers.
Can be
if he's for you, who cares? Huh? If he's
won't
for you,
you
who cares? Huh?
Me away.
Goshen.
Take
Goshen.
Me
Goshen.
Away.
Goshen.
So
Goshen.
I
Goshen.
Can be
Goshen.
Goshen. You.
Goshen. Goshen.
Won't
Jesus.
You
Goshen.
Pour over
Lord, just get him drunk.
Pour over
just get
me
him drunk.
Your oil.
Jesus.
A perfect peace.
You would like prayer? Come on up here right now.
Won't you pour over
the presence
me.
Of God is here.
Pour over me your oil.
Come. Lift your hands. Goshen. Goshen. Lord, just put him in Goshen.
A perfect peace.
Just lost in your presence in a place called Goshen. Of every need met, blessings in abundance.
Pour over him the oil.
It's called Goshen.
A perfect peace.
God promised it.
Take
I mean, God is preparing this place for centuries before anybody was going to need
away
it.
So I can be with you.
God's planning this thing out for centuries before
so
it's ever needed.
Can be
you know, I really believe in the coming you. Revival. Everything he's been preparing for 2,000 years, it's just all going to just break loose. All the prayers that have been prayed for centuries. Prayers prayed for centuries by people that never saw it. Suddenly God just says, okay, okay. I promised I'd do that, so I guess I'd better before it's over, and it's over. So I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. More, Lord, more. Fill. If you want prayer, come on up. We'll pray. If you want to make bricks without straw, you can go home and do that too. You can get back to the brick making job. Or you can plan to load up and get ready to move out of Goshen to go to the next.
Won't you pour?
If you like those bricks, you can keep on making them. But the church is moving on.
Over me,
Jesus.
Your oil, a
perfect Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Won't you take
Brother Kim, can I pray
away
for you? Lift your hands.
Take me away.
Father, I thank you for Kim,
so
for his life. Lord, I just pray blessing on him tonight. And Lord, he'd live in a place called Goshen. A place called Goshen. A place called Goshen. In his life.
So I can be.
You're worried about your problem. God's already got your problem figured out. You're worried. You're worried about the problem. God's already been over there. It's all been fixed. You're worried about the problem, and God is already up. I mean, God was 400 years ahead of the problem.
I am looking for the place where you will pour your oil over me.
I mean, those Jewish women didn't come out of that slavery like a bunch of refugees. I mean, those Jewish women came out of Egypt, looked like they'd been shopping on Fifth Avenue in New York.
Pour over me.
They came out dressed in the finest dresses, wearing all those Egyptian women's jewelry.
Won't you pour?
And it never wore out for 40 years.
Pour
blessing
over
of God.
Me.
The blessing of God. Father, I thank you tonight.
A perfect peace.
Lord, we're contending for revival. We thank you the revival is that we've been begging for. You've already got that thing covered.
Time when I can steal.
You've already got it covered.
Find a place of rest.
It's coming.
A place of peace.
Lord, you're going to bring a shaking.
I am looking for.
We're not going to be sitting down in a hole with our guns and our bottle of water,
with
our fingers crossed, hoping
to be
hoping for the best.
You. Won't you take me away?
Brother Rick,
Lord,
and Pastor Terry, and Pastor Rick,
away.
When the shaking starts,
so
open
I
the doors of the church, because they're going to come looking. They're going to run to this place. They're going to run. They're going to run. Jesus. Tonight, if you'd like prayer, we'll pray for you. If you're God's ministering to you, don't rush it. You say, where is this place called Goshen? It's the place of His presence. It's not the brick factory. It's the place of His presence. It's the place of His glory. It's the place of His anointing. It's the place of His touch. That's the place of His blessing. That's the place of His blessing. God has prepared that place for His people. Isaiah 60 talks about deep darkness on the people, but His glory on His people. That's why the dogs wouldn't bark in Egypt. Even the stupid dogs understood how special these people were. Even the dogs were afraid of them. I mean, if those curly-tailed dogs can understand the glory. Those mutts. If mutts can figure it out, Christians ought to be able to figure it out. Goshen is the glory. And everything we need is there.
Right.
We love you. We bless you.
For the Lord is come.
If you need to go, just go. But we're going to ask you in all these meetings to go quiet.
Rise, shine.
If you need to leave, leave. But leave quiet. Why? God's here. You know, God's going to have a church that doesn't turn him on and turn him off. Because there'll come a day the glory will just stay and the people will come and go. The people will come and the people will go. But the glory will stay. When the glory of God, it's a historical thing. Listen to me right now. Just listen to me. It's a historical fact that when the glory of God hit Belfast, Ireland on September the 30th, 1857, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when that revival, when that Irish revival broke out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a guy walking down a city street, that by 7 o'clock that night on a cold Irish rain night, the churches had thousands and thousands and thousands of people standing outside in a cold night rain because there was no room for them in the churches. There was a Presbyterian church in Belfast, had 3,000 to 4,000 people standing outside in a pouring rain just to be near the building. They feared the church would collapse that night. The balcony would collapse because there were so many people that it crammed in. You say, well, what kind of meeting? There was no meeting. It was just the rain of God began to fall. 100,000 people got saved in a matter of just a couple of weeks. Just the tangible glory of God. What would happen tonight if that happened here? What would happen if suddenly the revival were continued for, began in Rochester, began in your county? People have been praying. I mean, one day the dam breaks. Why not this day? One night the dam breaks. What about this night? And when it comes, no man holds it back. No group holds it back. I just feel the presence of God here. I want the presence of God that's here right now to go in Walmart. Glory of God in McDonald's, the schools. If you need to talk, just take it to the foyer. And Danny's just going to continue to worship and play. If you need to go, you just feel free to leave. Tomorrow night,